It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
An early childhood taxing district, what on earth is that?
The latest in politics and world affairs.
I don't think that we should be passing legislation that is so complicated that people kind of throw up their hands and say, oh, I can't understand it.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
It is not fair that just because you're a big business that you get a break on this and the little guy doesn't.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed. Let's have a conversation. Welcome to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. It's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. And all the podcasts, recaps of the shows are there. Lots of great op-eds by our writer's circle. So be sure and check that out. Go over to Facebook. We are always posting very interesting posts. And we'd appreciate it if you'd give us a like there as well. We've got a great show planned for you today. First of all, our Headlines for Hope. It's a new little podcast that we're putting together. They're about 3 minutes. And yesterday's podcast was regarding Captain Tom Moore. He is the British war veteran who decided that he would try to raise some money for the national health system in Britain and was going to walk with his walker back and forth in his backyard 100 laps. Ended up that he wanted to raise about $1,300. He's probably raised over $16 million and because he wants to help the hospital workers, the doctors, the nurses, the back up there in England with their work in the coronavirus. So pretty amazing story. Be sure and check that out. We're going to be talking with Juliana Day in this first segment regarding a town hall or a virtual event this evening. And then Karen Levine and Lauren Levy will be on. And Karen Levine is that award-winning realtor with RE/MAX Alliance to update us on what's happening in the real estate market. And Lauren, also there's opportunities in the mortgage financing arena. And so Lauren will help us out with that. And then in the third and fourth segment, Alan Thomas, he's a friend of mine. He's a millennial. He's written a really interesting op-ed, The Good of the Neighbor, The Good of the Government. And so we'll chat about that as well. As we look at these issues, we look at them in the context of freedom versus force, force versus freedom, or as Tom Goodfellow said, freedom versus fear, or fear versus freedom. And so it's really important as we're walking through this, we've seen such a grab by politicians and bureaucrats and interested parties, these PBIs, that are grabbing more and more power and control over our lives. And we need to be very vigilant and walk that back. And one of the ways we do that is put on our thinking caps. As Rudyard Kipling said, he said, I keep six honest serving men. They taught me all I knew. Their names are what and why and when and how and where and who. Ultimately, freedom comes down to force. And we're seeing force in all over right now. And we need to be pushing back on that. Would like to say thank you to our great team, to Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, and Charlie for all of your support, your great work. And thank you to each of you listeners. You're treasured, you're valued. Take care of your heart, your soul, your mind and body today. Do something industrious, do something productive, read a great book, and strive for excellence. So, Steve, it is Friday, one of your favorite days of the week.
I'm going to go to the grocery store to do something productive.
Oh, and to Jill Vecchio's joke about, oh, I'm taking the trash out today. I wonder what I'll wear. What are you going to wear to the grocery store, Steve?
I haven't decided yet. It's always kind of a last minute thing.
Okay, so let's go ahead and jump in here regarding our inspiration wisdom. It's from Harriet Beecher Stowe. She was an American abolitionist and author. She came from the Beecher family, which was a famous religious family, and is best known for her novel, Uncle Tom's Cabin, which depicts the harsh conditions for enslaved Black Americans. The book reached millions as a novel and play and became influential in the United States and Great Britain, energizing anti-slavery forces in the American North while provoking widespread anger in the South. Stowe wrote 30 books, including novels, 3 travel memoirs, and collections of articles and letters. She was influential for both her writings and her public stances and debates on social issues of the day. She was born in 1811 and died in 1896 at the age of 85 years old. This is what she said. She said, when you get into a tight place and everything goes against you until it seems that you cannot hold on for a minute longer, Never give up then, for that is just the place and time when the tide will turn. And for many folks out there that may have lost their job, they're underemployed, it's scary out there. I think we can take great heart from those words, Steve.
Yeah, I was reading, because I pull up the log or what do we call that, the script, and reading
our
this
outline.
Word outline. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I was reading her words earlier and contemplating some situations in my own life where that was the case.
Yep,
just about the point you think you can't endure anymore.
Keep hanging on is what she says. So our funnies for today are kind of funny, but we'll give it a try here. Are you ready, Steve?
Oh, it's funny.
I saw a meme. It says, so you're telling me that I can be arrested if I violate the stay-at-home order, but you're letting people out of jail so they don't get coronavirus.
Yeah, that's
pretty well sums it up, huh?
How many things? I mean, you've been talking about it quite freely in terms of the grab for power, but remember the Abilene theory? People in groups tend to do things which as individuals they know are stupid. There's one right there.
That's right. So, hey, before we get to Juliana Day here, okay, the big news yesterday is President Trump unveils the guidelines for rolling back the social distancing and opening up the country. And he says this is the next front in our war. And he has said that we are really at war. We're at war with an unseen enemy right now. And we have to look at that. It happened fast. I think we're going to all be changed as we go through this. Things that we took for granted, we're not going to take for granted, like getting together with friends and family, having shelves at the stores that are full, being able to go to the store and have the freedom to decide what you can buy and what you can't buy. And I think it's very exciting, Steve, that he has three different phases that he is recommending that states take a look at and start to open us back up. And I also really respect the fact that he is honoring this idea of federalism. In as much as the federal government has specific responsibilities and the states have specific responsibilities as well, it also means that these governors, they're supposed to be governors of their state instead of whining and looking to the federal government for money. And we're seeing a lot of that, but looking to the federal government for money. And if President Trump had actually taken over and said he was making the decision for the complete country, then I think that is really antithetical to the constitutional republic that we have. But it also is going to hold these governors responsible to the people. They will not be able to hide behind blaming Donald Trump. And so it's going to be very important that everyday people really take a look at these governors, these state legislators, even county commissioners, city council people that they have elected, that we have elected, and see who stands for freedom and who wants to grab power. So, Steve, this is really, I think, exciting. The stock market, I guess, I'll ask Jason about that. It looks like the stock market liked it. But let's get back to work. Let's get this country open again. And I'm really excited about it, Steve.
I want to encapsulate what you're saying to a degree. One of the biggest problems in this whole situation has been the realization that one size does not fit all. So this letting the states make the decision, the governors, it's a good move.
It's a super move. So I'm very excited about that. So next thing I'd like to talk about, and that is with Juliana Day. And you know her. She is really the one that went to work to get Initiative 120 on the ballot this November. There's one more hurdle that it looks like she's and the team's going to have to get past, and that is to probably get an additional set of signatures to get that on the ballot. But it's the due date too late initiative. Juliana Day, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Kim. And to all your listeners, good morning. And yeah, it's just a little bit that we have to, once again, gather additional signatures. It's going to be about 10,000 valid signatures to put the initiative on the November ballot. But I feel very strongly that we can do it. And I'm estimated that we'll need 15,000 at least to make sure we have enough to close the gap. And the good news is that we were also granted by the Denver District Court judge an emergency stay that will allow us to gather petition signatures after the state of Colorado lifts its statewide emergency order due to COVID-19. So with that, with the governor's extension of the stay-at-home order until April 26th, we can technically start gathering signatures on April 27th, unless there are any other changes. And but before we do that, we just wait for us to confirm that date. So I think, like I said, I feel strongly that we can do it. So I'm encourage people to sign up on our website, that is duedatetoolate.com, and become a volunteer. It's only 40 signatures per petition. So we are already mobilizing a lot of volunteers and be the voice of those babies that they are voiceless and they are suffering a lot. And for the ones who don't know too much about Initiative 120, this is about banning late-term abortion after 22 weeks when the baby has all the physical structures to feel pain and is already viable.
Yes, and it's absolutely cruel as a society that we let that continue on, that babies can be aborted after the age of 22 weeks. So thank you for your hard work on that. Now, one other thing. This evening, you are doing a virtual question and answer, a town hall tonight that you are working on organizing. Tell us about that and how people can find that.
Yeah, I was listening to what you were saying, and undeniably people are suffering, people are struggling, there's a lot of fear, uncertainty, businesses are shutting their doors forever, the economy is greatly being affected in our state. But the good news is that this is a wonderful, great country, and we will overcome. So, but what we are organizing now is a special invitation to all your listeners to a virtual town hall. It's going to be today, April 17th at 6 p.m. So for more information, they can check the Facebook page, House for Colorado. They can also call me at 720-899-0897 or just go to the Facebook page, coronavirus/forward, share your story to create solutions. And what we are going to be discussing is the impact of the coronavirus on our communities, churches, and people's health. But it's going to be just one of many other discussions that we're going to be having, and it's going to be live. So yeah, I encourage all the listeners and the people that are going to be tuning in, please send your questions to the speakers. And we are having three speakers, and I'm going to be asking the questions too. We are having Dr. Lisa Van Bramer, a trained emergency medicine physician. She also contributed to the state of Colorado's pandemic flu plan. Steve House is going to be another speaker who has over 30 years of experience in the healthcare industry, and is also a candidate for Colorado Congressional District 6. And Richard Harris, who is the director of Truth and Liberty Coalition and the general counsel for Andrew Womack Ministries and Caris Bible College. So please just go to Facebook tonight at 6 p.m. and just let's just start the conversation.
Okay, and again, that Facebook is Coronavirus. Share your story to find solutions. Is that right?
Yeah, it's coronavirus/forward, share your story to create solutions.
To create solutions, go, okay.
Yeah, or go to House for Colorado. That's another one that, we are going to have all the information for tonight at 6 p.m.
Okay, Juliana Day, thank you so much. You're doing a lot of amazing work. So have a great day, and we'll talk to you later.
Thank you. Hope to see you, everybody, there.
Okay. Virtually see everybody there. And before we go to break, as you all know, with the edict to close down bars and restaurants and taverns, it has made for some really challenging times for our restaurants. They've gotten creative. And one of my very valued sponsors is Hooters Restaurants. And they sponsor both my shows. Greatly appreciate that. And they have done some really super things. They're currently offering delivery at all of their Hooters Colorado locations. And their delivery providers can vary by location. They're accepting to-go orders. They can be placed at order.hooters.com. And then they have curbside service. You can drive up and they'll just bring it out to you. Wednesdays are wing days. If you buy 20 wings, you can get 10 for free, and they have lunch specials every day. Their hours are Sunday through Wednesday, 11:30 a.m. to 8:30 p.m., and Thursday through Saturday, 11:30 to 9 p.m. So go to order.hooters.com. And let them know how much you appreciate them, because I really do as well. Let's go to break. When we come back, we will be talking to another of my couple of very valued sponsors, award-winning realtor Karen Levine, and then mortgage specialist Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial. We'll be right back.
Water's Edge Winery and Bistro is celebrating 5 years in business and is now open Tuesday through Sunday, 3 p.m. to 8 p.m. Located near the northwest corner of Arapahoe and University, they are offering to-go food and wine to keep you fed and happy. Call 720-381-6663 to place our curbside to-go order, or stop in and grab your bottles and lunch or dinner. That's 720-381-6663, or follow Water's Edge Winery and Bistro Centennial on Facebook or Instagram for updates and specials.
You want to succeed, so you need to dress for the job, event, or relationship that you seek. For more than 30 years, entrepreneur and stylist Kim Munson has been helping women look their very best. And guys, Kim can help you with made-to-measure shirts that fit great and you'll love to wear. Guys and gals, if you want to up your game, freshen your look, email kim@kimmunson.com for your initial style consult. Kim@kimmunson, MONSON.com.
Hey, welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out my website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. And recaps of the show can be found there, as well as the podcast. And on the line with me is a couple of my really valued sponsors, Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial and Karen Levine. Lauren Levy, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Kim.
Love talking with you guys every Friday morning. There's so much going on. In fact, things change day by day. But what is happening in the mortgage financing market right now, Lauren?
You know, from my angle, things are still going pretty strong, Kim. Rates are kind of holding steady at this lower rate. I kind of tell people that if you have a rate that's over 4% on a home loan right now, that's your primary residence, you probably should be giving us a call, just because rates in the lower threes are available and people are saving a lot of money right now by reducing their payment or shortening the length of their loan.
So how much could people potentially save? I mean, is it in the thousands of dollars, or what is it exactly?
Well, it depends how you look at it. I mean, I think honestly, first of all, it's determined by the size of the loan. So someone who only owes $100,000 on their house isn't going to see the savings that someone that owes $500,000 on their house by a similar rate reduction. But I just started a loan yesterday for a gentleman, and he's saving $200 a month, which that's $2,400 a year, which is real mm-hmm. dollars. And especially mm-hmm. if you take that out over the life of a 30-year loan, now we're $60,000-$70,000 over the life of the loan, which is just interest you don't pay to a bank.
Okay. Lauren, a question. So let's say that somebody their mortgage is, they'll pay it off, say, maybe in 12 years. Can they get the same time, but yet at a lower rate to pay that off, or do they have to extend that time out?
No, absolutely. They can get the same time. We can do flexible. We can do a loan anywhere from 8 years all the way up to a 30-year loan, in any increment that we really want. And oftentimes what we'll do with someone who has a 12-year loan is maybe put them in a 10-year loan and shave 2 years off the payments, but still maintain the same payment, if not lower. So then you just knock 2 years off their life before they own the house. which saves, again, thousands of dollars in payments they don't have to make.
Okay. So, Lauren, what's the process? If somebody wants to talk to you or, you know, have you take a look at, do a mortgage checkup, what's the process for that?
So the two ways to do it is they can go to our website, www.polyfigroup.com, P-O-L-Y-F-I group, or they can just call 303-880-8881.
Okay, that's 303-880-8881. And I would highly recommend, you know, I think people need to be doing things that are productive and industrious during this time, and actually doing a mortgage checkup and determining if you can save yourself thousands of dollars would make a lot of sense. So I'd highly recommend that people give you a call, Lauren.
Well, I thank you for that, and I look forward to hearing from people.
Okay, we'll talk to you next Friday morning, Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial.
All right, thank you, Kim.
Okay. And Karen Levine, award-winning realtor with RE/MAX Alliance, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Kim.
So what's going on in your world? It's been a little interesting, hasn't it?
It has been interesting, but the realtor community is resilient and creative, and the American people still want the American dream. So we're working hard to get people in their new homes, helping people sell homes. It's just we're doing it in a pretty predominant virtual environment, and we are putting transactions together and helping people get shelter. So even though they've been challenging times, I think, like I said, we're a creative and resilient group.
Well, and a little over a week ago or so, Governor Polis came out and said that realtors buying and selling houses was no longer an essential business. And in doing so, that put constrictions on people being able to physically see a home. So as you mentioned, you guys have gotten pretty creative on this whole thing.
We have. So we're providing virtual tours through the internet. We're using 3D technology through Matterport type tours. And then buyers, and it's just a new environment, but buyers are writing contracts on homes they have not physically seen, and then providing in the contract the ability to see it within a short amount of time, 24, maybe 48 hours, to make sure that's the home they want, and then proceed with the process. The governor has allowed us and allowed inspectors into the properties, allowed buyers to do final walkthroughs in the properties, and is allowing appraisers to appraise those properties. So we are now at least able to get people to the closing table, and we're finding some of these new processes might be something that hangs out because of their efficiencies and actually how well they meet the needs of the consumer, of our buyers and sellers.
Okay, so explain this. Can you go with the buyer to see the house, or do they have to go by themselves? And once they do this contract, or how does that work?
We accompany them. We must adhere, obviously, to the social distancing requirements. So I would open up the home, and my clients would stay 6 feet away from me and stay to each other, and then open the home, allow them to go into the home. We would ask that all of us touch as few surfaces as possible, and I come equipped with my container of Clorox wipes and my hand sanitizer. So we are keeping people safe, and they're still having the ability to buy homes. So okay. It's, you know, we wouldn't say it's the most perfect environment, but then obviously the coronavirus put us in an environment we're totally not familiar with. So we just have to make some adjustments.
Okay. And what about supply and demand? Has things frozen up? Are you still seeing people wanting to buy and sell homes? What's that look like?
Well, I think that's what's exciting. Let's just look. In the last 24 hours, 230 new homes have come on the market. The big news probably a week, 10 days ago, was buyers or sellers were withdrawing their homes from the market. Sellers were scared. Sellers didn't want buyers in their homes, even though that's what it was taking for them to sell their home. And we were seeing in the hundreds withdrawn from the market. And in the last 24 hours, we've only seen 49 homes come back off the market withdrawn. And most of those homes will come back on the market when some of these restrictions are lifted. And we've seen 240 homes close in the last 24 hours. We've got, I think it is 39 homes in what's called the coming soon status, which means they will be coming on the market in the next 2 weeks. And that's affording the real estate populace that belongs to the MLS system to see what's coming on the market and prepare their buyers so that when they do come on the market and are actually available, the buyer is ready to go and act on that property if it's a good fit.
Okay. Well, Karen Levine, you and I have been friends for many, many years, and you're such a valued partner of the show. And if people are thinking about buying or selling, they should really reach out to you. Your phone number is 303-877-7516, 303-877-7516. And I'm sure you can set up a virtual meeting. And I'm, as I mentioned to Lauren, I'm recommending that people be productive and industrious. And this can be a time of great opportunity with mortgage interest rates so low. And so people have time on their hands. They want to take a look at some houses. I think you could help them out.
We definitely can, and I look forward to their phone calls.
Again, that's 303-877-7516. Karen Levine, thanks so much. You have a great day.
You too, Kim. Bye-bye.
Okay. And on the line with me is Jason McBride, Senior Vice President with Presidential Wealth Management. Jason McBride, it is Friday. You've made it.
I've made it, and the market looks like it's going to be pretty darn happy this morning. The Dow futures are up 700 points. That's 3%. Seem to be pretty accepting of the reopening plan that was at least fleshed out somewhat yesterday.
Well, and during this time, and we've talked about it a lot, even when it's scary, there's a lot of uncertainty, fear, there's always opportunity. And you've put together on your website, you can find it at airpresidential.com, which is our landing page together, air, that's A-I-R, presidential.com, a synopsis on this CARES Act. But there's some things in the retirement arena that people might be able to do to maybe, should they continue to contribute to their 401k? What about Roths? Tell us what you think about that.
Well, two different subjects, but yeah, 401ks. You know, it seems like a lot of times when the market drops, the first kind of normal human reaction is, oh, maybe I should stop putting money in. And really, that's not necessarily the best way to go. I would say when prices are cheap, you know, if you can afford it, ask them to increase your 401k contribution. Your 401k is usually a very, you know, long-term investment option for you, and the more you can get in while prices are low over the long term, the better that's going to work out. But it's funny, we see the opposite when the market gets in trouble. People want to ask if they should stop putting money in the 401k, and when the market's way up high, we get excited and want to kind of join the party and put in more money. The other thing you can do, Kim, is your 401k may be out of whack. If you had kind of, if just for example, you wanted a mix of 50% stocks in there and 50% bonds, well, your stock percentage may be lower now because of the reduction in the market. So if you do what's called a rebalance, it'll peel some off of the bonds, which are still somewhat higher, and inject that money into the stocks that are lower right now, you know, which is just another way to buy low and hopefully sell high someday.
Well, and Jason, don't you find that human nature is such a funny thing that you just mentioned that human nature is such that when the prices have gone down, people tend to say, oh, gosh, should I put more money in? and then buy at the high. And so human nature is just such a funny thing.
Well, it's hard and it's unpleasant to, you know, walk out into a storm. And that's what it's like. You know, when everything looks great and it's sunny, it's easy to make that move. But, yeah, when prices are down, and especially when it's combined with a very negative, frightening narrative that's coming out of the news every single day that it's going to be the end of the world, it's hard to have the confidence to go in and buy. But there's all kinds of adages on Wall Street for that. You know, you got to buy when there's blood in the streets. You got to buy when everybody else is selling. You got to buy when your knees are knocking. You know, they sound strange, and everybody would agree with them if you ask during a normal time. But then we get to where it's kind of scary, and you know, people get hesitant, and it is understandable, Kim. But sometimes you got to go against human nature, I guess, and just use the logical part of your brain, if you have one left.
Hopefully, yeah, that's always a big question. So, Jason McBride, if people would like some help with the rebalance or to talk about their 401k, or my other question not going to get to today, but the Roth conversion, we can talk about that on Monday.
Okay.
They can reach out to you and your colleagues over there at Presidential Wealth Management. The phone number is 303-694-1600. Jason, what is our landing page together?
It's airpresidential.com. That's A-I-R. Presidential.com, and there's a nice picture of the two of us, and you're the nice part, not me.
Okay, Jason Bride, thanks so much. Have a great day. We will talk to you on Monday morning.
Have a great show, Kim. Thanks.
Okay, we're going to go to break. When we come back, we'll be talking with Alan Thomas. He has written a really excellent op-ed about the good of the neighbor, the good of the government. You're going to want to stay tuned because it is a great conversation. We'll be right back.
Karen Levine has over 30 years in the real estate industry. The reaction to the COVID-19 Wuhan virus is presenting unprecedented and unpredictable opportunities and challenges in buying or selling your home. That is why you need to work with award-winning realtor Karen Levine. Karen Levine comes highly recommended by Kim Munson. Call award-winning realtor Karen Levine today at 303-877-7516. Karen's expertise will help guide you through this crazy real estate market. Call Karen Levine at 303-877-7516 today.
Did you know Hooters wings can fly? That's right. Your favorite wings can be picked up for to-go and can even be delivered right to your doorstep. Take advantage of Hooters' delicious lunch specials, like our seaworthy Baja fish tacos, mouth-watering Western burger, or our new roasted wings. Lunch specials are available to go Monday through Friday from 11:30 a.m. to 3 p.m. Curbside service available. Place your order online at order.hooters.com. Get your wings to fly only at Hooters.
Hey, welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. And podcast recaps of the shows can be found there, as well as our great op-eds. And on the line with me is Alan Thomas. He has written an excellent, The Good of a Neighbor, The Good of the Government. It will be highlighted in our newsletter that goes out on Sunday. So go to my website and be sure and sign up for that. And then we'll be on the website after that as well. Alan Thomas, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Kim. It's great to be back, even though it's a little different from what we pictured a month ago, right?
Normally, we like to be in studio together, but we're getting very creative, Alan. And I really appreciate this piece that you have done, The Good of the Neighbor, The Good of the Government. So tell us a little bit about that.
Definitely. So fortunately, this past month, I've had the ability to telework and actually keep my job, but that's kind of led me to be able to watch more news than I really ever have, because it cut out my commute time. And it really astounded me how desperate life sounded on the news. You know, you have people saying Trump is terrible, the Democrats are wrecking the country, the mounting death tolls that come up every 15 minutes. Frankly, it sounded as if life would end if I crossed my doorstep. But one morning I had Facebook up with the news in the background, and I was struck by the difference in the tone, similar to like you said at the top of the show. There was this huge difference between fear versus freedom. There was ingenuity and communities coming together on my Facebook feed. There was a story about a teacher who heard his student was struggling with math, so he drove over, brought a whiteboard, and taught her through a glass door. You know, doctors are making house calls. People are making homemade masks and giving them out for free to neighbors and friends. My cousin was laid off because he works in the restaurant business, and instead of moping around, he decided to use his time to help a nonprofit distribute food. And I saw this natural need for others to step up and help. There was this innate desire that despite this overwhelming government force that we're under, that people wanted to be free. My church hosted a drive-up Easter service. Stores started offering senior-only shopping, and all of this happened without government mandates or government edicts, and it was all born out of free will. And I hope we learn after all of this that we need to remain neighbors once again, that we shouldn't use the government to absolve our conscience, that we need to not ask our politicians and government to feed the hungry and clothe the poor, but that we need to do that, and we need to be the change we want to see in the world, and remember to give our neighbors, whether they're Democrat or Republican, their humanity back, and treat each other with the dignity we all deserve.
Well, and we are seeing a lot of it. I mentioned that this World War II British veteran who is going to turn 100 next week and decided that he was going to do, I don't know, it's laps or just back and forth in his garden to raise money for the National Health Service. Now, one has to say, why does somebody have to volunteer to raise money for the National Health Service? That's a whole different thing. That's the whole government thing, you know. But you see this 100, almost 100-year-old veteran doing something to help others. That's the real important component of that story. It's pretty amazing, Alan Thomas.
It really is. I mean, I even highlighted in the article, John Krasinski was a, you know, what we would typically say a Hollywood elite. Instead of preaching at us to stay home, he started this Spread Good News network where he just highlights some amazing stories. And in one of the videos last week, the cast of Hamilton got on and sang to a surprised Hamilton fan. I think she was like 12 or 13 or something. And, you know, just some amazing things going on. And, you know, there's hope in humanity throughout all this, and despite principled people like ourselves, despite all that we're seeing going on, we can still look around and find lots of good happening throughout all this.
Well, there is, and you make a point, the difference between a neighbor and government. And there is this famous quote, some say that Thomas Jefferson said that, but a government big enough to give you everything is everything that you want is a government that's big enough to take from everything that you have. And I think that as we're walking through this, we need to really understand that with all the licensing, the fact that the government will give you a license so that you can actually have an exchange between another individual, a business exchange, trading value for value. The fact that the government wants to get into that and give licenses, we're seeing that now government can take those licenses away. And Alan, I think that's very dangerous.
Absolutely. I mean, we've seen it. There was, I forget which physicians association sent a letter to Trump saying, hey, all the regulations you rolled back to help us come up with tests, keep those rolled back. We've seen local distilleries try and produce hand sanitizer, and the FDA trying to get involved and say, wait, we didn't stamp our approval on that, so you probably shouldn't do it. And these distilleries saying, well, I'm going to do it anyway. So absolutely, I hope we remember all these examples and we start to roll a lot of those back or keep some of them rolled back, because like Roger Bianco's article a week ago, government likes to keep a lot of the rules and regulations they enact during crises.
Well, and that is going to be very important. You're referring to his piece on the Ratchet Effect, And so we've seen rolling back in some arenas of rules and regulations, but yet we've also seen this real grab at power over our lives as well. And so we have a duty, which I think maybe that might be another underlying theme of your op-ed, is that we have a duty as human beings, as citizens, to be good neighbors, but to also be vigilant on our government. And the American experiment is such that government is to rest with the people, not, as I call them, the PBIs, those politicians, the bureaucrats, and interested parties. And so the veil has really been off on kind of the creep that we've had on an administrative kind of government instead of a representative government, Alan Thomas.
Certainly. I mean, it kind of goes back to absolving our conscience, right? We hear about these great government programs to, you know, such as food stamps or welfare or, you know, creating a safety net. And you hear a lot of people go, well, the government should do that because that's good for other people, as opposed to them putting their time and effort and into solving whatever issue they find out. And quite frankly, it's harder to do that. It's much harder to give your time and effort and money than it is to just ask a politician to do it for you or to say that the government needs to do that. And honestly, I think Americans have started to get a little lazy, and we need to really self-reflect and see what we're asking the government to do and start to take back that power ourselves.
Okay, so Alan Thomas, let's go to break. This is Kim Munson. I'm talking with Alan Thomas. He's written a very good op-ed. It's The Good of a Neighbor, The Good of the Government. And with the COVID-19, coronavirus, Wuhan virus disruption, it's caused us to sit back. We're step back from some of the busyness of life. And so let's go to break, and we'll continue the conversation with Alan Thomas. We'll be right back.
A reverse mortgage can be an important financial tool for individuals 62 and older. It is essential to understand the process so that all of your questions are answered. With over 17 years in the mortgage industry, Lauren Levy, Polygon Financial Group, has the experience to answer your questions. Lauren knows that each financial transaction is personal. If you'd like to explore your options on a reverse mortgage or with rates down, explore options to remodel your home, buy a rental property, or move, call Lauren Levy at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881 for a mortgage checkup.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out my website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Be sure and go over to Facebook and give us a like there as well. And sign up for my email newsletter. You can do that at the website. We send that out on Sundays. A lot of great information highlighting our upcoming guests as well as our op-eds. And Alan Thomas is on the line with me. He's written a piece, The Good of the Neighbor, The Good of the Government. Alan Thomas, with this whole COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption, and you mentioned your cousin that was in the restaurant industry, I mean, these people immediately either lost their jobs or were furloughed. And that's very difficult for them. And it was all because of government. Of course, we have this unprecedented COVID-19 that we didn't know quite what it was. You know, just the death counts, as you mentioned, when you look at the news, that there was, you know, all these increasing numbers of people dying from it. But I'm concerned on one hand, and yet I understand on the other hand, about these programs that the federal government has put together regarding the Payroll Protection Act, the unemployment, that ultimately that people are looking to the government in that particular arena for a solution. On the other hand, government immediately stopped people from being able to make a living. So maybe there's a responsibility on that. What's your thoughts on that, Alan?
Yeah, it's been a difficult conversation to have with people just because, like you said, it started with a problem that the government created. And so then naturally you look to the government to help solve it. It's a difficult time out there, and I won't deny any of that, but it's unfortunate that we've had to turn to the government to do everything that it's had to do, and that we've kind of absolved ourselves of this personal responsibility for living our lives and taking responsibility for our actions. You know, if we want to go out in the public, we need to take responsibility for that and accept the risks of that. And yeah, it's a tough time for sure.
Well, and it is. And so certainly we're printing money, which that can down the road create an inflationary environment. And I think that it was Ben Shapiro had said that coming in and printing money for this particular crisis, you know, and I guess I'm paraphrasing to what I think he said, may be necessary, or there may be good reasons to do that because the government created the problem. But the problem before that was that we were at $23 trillion of debt because we would not make the decision to reduce our spending. And that has been from both sides of the aisle, multiple presidential administrations. And so we weren't really prepared so much for a rainy day because we'd already put so much debt on the books. And whenever we borrow that, we're either borrowing it from other countries or we're borrowing it from our children. And, you know, generations before us, you know, I've interviewed over 130 World War II veterans. They put their lives on the line to pass on something good to the next generation, to stand against tyranny. And I've always been very uncomfortable with my generation that thinks that we're going to pass on to your generation and the next generation's a big fat IOU. And it's a conversation that I think we need to have. And one of your other pieces that you'd written, your op-ed, was, okay, boomer, you're a millennial, I'm a boomer. You know, so what's your comments about that? Because we need to come together and start to work to make sure that we're passing on something sustainable and good to the next generation.
I agree. And it's always interesting how we turn to these stopgap measures and we put Band-Aids on a gaping wound as opposed to actually addressing what will make life better for everyone and for small businesses. You know, throughout all this, I think at the very beginning, Trump said he wanted to decrease taxes and on the businesses and people, and yet that was stymied from the very beginning. But how could the tax burden and the regulatory burden not help people through this crisis and to come out of it? Especially, you know, as a small business owner, you pay taxes on everything that you do. There's regulations for, it seems like, breathing within your own business. So I wish we would look to common sense as opposed to just printing money and playing Monopoly. I wish we'd actually solve some of these issues.
Well, and it's a responsibility for us as citizens that we elect people that will go to work on that. And I think so many times we look to the people that are running for office. We call them our elected leaders. I'm not going to call them elected leaders anymore. I'm going to call them elected representatives, because that is really what they are. Is they're supposed to be representatives of the people. And they're supposed to keep government in a smaller box so that you'll either have big government and small individuals, or smaller government and bigger individuals. And we realize that more individuals that are out there working to thrive and prosper and being able to keep more of their money in their pocket ultimately will increase tax revenues. And so we would ask for responsibility over on the government side to keep government spending and government rules and regulations in check. So I think that's going to be one of the positives that is coming out of this whole disruption, Alan Thomas.
Certainly, and it's kind of interesting what happened over in Michigan, and I've seen rumors of it happening here at our state capitol, of doing a drive-in protest, a way for people to say, hey, let's reopen Colorado, but we're going to do it responsibly and stay in our cars while doing it. And, you know, freedom's lost in bits and pieces, not all at once, and we definitely need to hold our elected officials accountable for everything that they decide to do throughout all this.
And what you're alluding to is I'm understanding that there is just a very organic movement that 1 o'clock on Sunday at the Capitol to, as you mentioned, to do a drive-by protest. And I'm not quite sure who's organizing it, but we're starting to see that out there on Facebook. And I thought that was so interesting, what happened in Michigan, because the Michigan governor is just totally power crazy. Apparently, she said that she would not allow people to buy seeds to plant their gardens. I mean, what does she want people to do? To just sit home? And I mean, what kind of life is it? A life that's not free. What kind of life is that, Alan Thomas?
You know, we've kind of lost a lot of this common sense, it seems like. I even went to Walmart the other day and was trying to buy some groceries, and they were saying I could only buy one pork product, one beef product, and one chicken product. And it's like, man, I'm glad I'm not living at the time where my mom had to feed three of us boys, where we drank 8 gallons of milk a week, and she would only be able to buy 1 gallon of milk a day. You know, we need to really embrace this common sense and think about what actions have repercussions. And it seems like some of these governors think that one size fits all works for everybody, and it doesn't.
Well, and I think Steve said that also. And that is, and when we look at everything, one size fits all does not fit. And that is what is so interesting about the American idea. And it was so radical at that particular point in time, because back then, you know, you basically had monarchies, you know, you had the haves and the have-nots. And with the American idea, the idea that every individual has these inalienable rights from our Creator of life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness, it made the individual, you know, have the opportunity to go after their hopes and dreams. And that's why everyday regular people like us have lived in virtual prosperity. We've been able to, you know, have vehicles to drive, phones to talk on, food, and, you know, shelves are full at the grocery store. And that's because of the American idea, Alan Thomas.
Certainly. I mean, if I wanted somebody to live my life for me, I could certainly go over to North Korea. I could go to Venezuela. There's lots of dictators around the world who would love to tell me what to do with my life and how to live it, but I don't want that. And we need to start.
Or you could go to Michigan.
Oh, absolutely. I'm sure New York would also appreciate my patronage and Governor Cuomo there as well. But, you know, throughout all of this, it is interesting how even diehard Democrats that I've seen on my Facebook feed still have this desire to make their own choices and to do things, granted from the safety of their own home, but still be able to do something and be productive. And it is encouraging to see, and hopefully it's a conversation we can help guide them, because people want that. People want to be free. People want to be productive. People want to be innovative, and we just need to steer them to the right place. The place to do that is not within the government. It's here with all of us.
Well, and you know, one other thing I've mentioned, that people should do something productive every day. And while people are home, instead of, you know, there's a lot of junk out there to read, I would recommend that people pull out their constitutions and their Declaration of Independence. It doesn't take that long to read that, but that could be something very productive to do during this time, Alan Thomas.
Definitely. You know, read the classic books. You know, even if you aren't a fan of reading, there's lots of podcasts and resources out there just to learn. And why not pick up a new skill, a new fact, a new hobby while we're all stuck at home?
Of course, though, if you're in Michigan, you can't plant your garden right now, though. That would be against the law. So, Alan Thomas, you know, we're becoming friends. We've both graduates of the leadership program in the Rockies, where it's a great program where we actually go back and study the American idea and the vision of the Declaration. And so we're just about out of time today. What's the final thought that you would like to leave with our listeners?
Just, you know, be neighborly again. You know, this is going to end, and we're going to be forced back out into the grind, and it's going to become politically divisive again. I mean, November's coming up. It's going to be Democrats versus Republican, Trump haters versus Trump supporters, and I hope we can just give each other the argument back and give humanity back. We aren't all monsters. We do want to leave a country better for all of our kids, and we may debate on how that's going to happen and how that best is going to be achieved, but we all want, no matter where you are at the end of the spectrum, we want what's best for our kids and our future kids. And I hope we can just be human again and have these arguments, but treat each other with respect.
Well, and I think it is important to have these conversations, but we need to work. It takes a lot of hard work to get your brain around these ideas and to be able to be an apologist or to defend your principles. And it's intellectually honest to do that. And so, Alan Thomas, thank you so much for being with us today. Your piece, The Good of the Neighbor, The Good of the Government, will be in our email newsletter this week, along with, we've got three great podcasts we're going to have there as well. So, Alan Thomas, thank you so much.
Thank you, Kim.
Okay, we'll talk to you next month again. And again, we're going to have three amazing podcasts that will be highlighted in this week's email newsletter. Recorded one yesterday with Pam Long regarding the modeling and the data on this COVID-19. We'll have one with Dr. Jill Vecchio regarding the World Health Organization, and then Helen Raleigh on a very interesting piece regarding a woman in China who had been doing a diary. So be sure and go to my website and sign up for that. Our quote for today is from Harriet Beecher Stowe. She said, "The truth is the kindest thing we can give folks in the end." So today, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. This is Kim Munson signing off. God bless you, and God bless America.